What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
All right, today on Lulz, Brian and I recap a little bit of the fallout from the sim wars that we were starting to discuss last week. We also might hop into an underdog draft because that's all we do around these parts anyways. And who knows, maybe Brian has some thoughts about the submersible that I can't stop thinking about. So it's Lulz, let's do it.
He thinks this is a go. Vegas Dave thinks this is a go.
Hot naked girls doing yoga.
What? Why don't you just win like a man?
Random.org. Type in one for yes, two for no, and let the DFS gods pick for you.
And I'm absolutely begging you not to dupe us. Please don't dupe us.
All right, Brian. It is Thursday. It is 1:30. It is Lulz time. This feels like a classic Lulz episode where we didn't have a pressing topic to lead with, no DFS drama. And so we're left to our own devices to build this as we go.
Back like when we first started, Pete.
Yeah.
I always get these notifications, but what's the sidebar, the trending, what's happening on Twitter. Yeah. And whenever it's like a celebrity name that's older, I always have to click on it to see if they're dead. Like it gets me every single time.
It's funny you mention that with the trending topics, because I have been, you know, I used to like to go to Twitter and search like a topic and kind of like read the tweets and stuff for it. And I was doing it for the submersible and it's just like a shit show. It was like 90% memes, which it's like, I don't mind a couple of the really good ones mixed in there, but like, I'm looking for some like concrete, like news updates and some reporting on it. You can't find it. Do you know where sneakily ended up being the best spot for just like social consumption? TikTok. Like once I watched one video, it started giving me them. They were basically all these amateur reporters, like, you know, on a twinge of conspiracy theory element to it. But it like satiated me as I was like looking for news and updates and theories in a way that Twitter just was left me hanging.
Speaking of the conspiracy theory, I just read a tweet that was like something, something submersible, you know, going to see the Titanic, which was also a PSYOP sunk by the government. Like, okay. Yeah.
Someone sent me a screenshot of one of their friends on Facebook, and I won't say who it was, but I will read the screenshot here that they had sent me. The government was never going to let them expose what they went there to expose. I pray for them. I just like even if you generously want to say they were going on a mission to expose something, like what even would there be to expose about the Titanic?
I don't that it would never happen. I don't know. It was sunk by the government, and then they would find the evidence.
And then the government had to sink anyone who went and pursued them further, because that could reveal the whole thing.
There's a lot of hate around. I don't get that. Like, I guess because the guys were rich or something. But I don't appreciate that. But I did see a funny one where it was like, Google how many people died on the Titanic, and it's like 1,503 crossed out, and now it says 1,508.
Yeah,
like that's too.
I know it is. It's one of those things too, where it is. I understand. There's good people on both sides. The not wanting to feel sympathy, or these guys who made pretty suspect decisions, but it's also still a sad story. But I do think it falls into that category. You know how, like, if there is, and sorry to get political, sorry to make this a race thing, but you know how if like a blonde girl at Harvard gets murdered, like the proportional coverage to that compared to just like any other, you know, demographic of someone who had died, like it would just greatly outweigh it, because that is something like the news would want to cover. It does seem like this story is just absolute like news bait, you know, rich billionaires going and doing this excursion. Like, it is the exact kind of news story we would fall over ourselves talking about, myself included.
I'm guessing, but I'm sure, like, you know, 10 people a month get lost at sea or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Across the world. And like occasionally there'll be a story because the guy survived for like 3 months and somehow they found him, and so then that becomes a story. But yeah, it's definitely because it's the Titanic, they were rich. It sounds like that it was implosion. So
yeah, I think I saw this one too, Andrew, this tweet. There was a refugee boat that capsized 2 weeks ago, and I think they were still like trying to do some kind of rescue mission, like with no coverage.
There's a lot of tragedies in the world though. I mean, crime and a lot of stuff doesn't get covered. I mean, they're not real news organizations, right? I mean, come on, like it's not like the olden days. They're competing against you, Pete. You know what I mean?
Well, it's so funny too, because I went through YouTube too to try to find some good reporting coverage over it. And it's just like, I wanted like a Doug Polk type channel. I wanted to watch like a 15-minute highly produced with some like good jokes, some actual reporting mixed in. It was actually really hard to find. You either found like a shitty news version where they were like interviewing some guy who like once was a scuba diver, or you have like some dude in his basement with a green screen with the same B-roll footage on loop. And it's like, it is like hard to find like good, interesting, entertaining coverage. I did want to ask though, did you see the subplot about the Blink-182 guy?
I did.
And did you getting after it with like Cardi B on Twitter too?
No, that I didn't see.
So like he did the Blink-182 thing, and then Cardi B like dunked on him and was like, if I'm ever in that spot, everybody better have their asses at home mourning me or something like that. And then he went after Cardi B and said her career was at a lull right now. It's like, dude,
I kind of like him now. Yeah. He is a stepson, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, if it wasn't his dad and like they just got married last year, you know, you got a Blink concert come. Like, you know, Davis Matic is going to that Blink concert. He's not missing.
If Davis had what would be the equivalent of Davis for probably like a skate park meetup with the bros or something.
Yeah, that's Blink. Blink is a skate band.
Yeah. The other funny video I saw was another guy who had done a mission on that Ocean Gate submersible. And he was like, it actually really sucked, man. He's like, you couldn't stand up. There was like no room to like move around. I was like, what did you think you were signing up for?
Yeah.
Like, did you think you were in some spacious penthouse? It doesn't even look that enjoyable when you see like the tour of it and even the porthole that you're looking for. It mainly seemed that they were looking at it on a rendering of another screen within the submersible. I'm like, it doesn't even seem like that cool of an immersive experience.
Four guy or five with the pilot. I was thinking about that. I assume like you go like, I'm going to get 15 minutes in the front seat. Then we switch. Then you get 15 minutes in the front seat. Cause otherwise you're not seeing anything.
No. And not to mention, I mean, one of the reasons it's so hard to find them, right, is because you have all these undercurrents that are kicking up, you know, like dirt and mud or whatever. And it's like murky and hard to see. It's not like you go down there and this is like lit up like, you know, fucking Soldier Field on Monday Night Football with just like this crystal clear view.
How about this thumbnail idea after it's less brood, but like the R2 heads in that front capsule of the submarine?
I mean, you know what, Brian? I did have this very gross like content thought last night as I was like going through these YouTube videos with Lauren, and I was like, I was like, if I would have just made a really, really good video about this, you could have gotten 1 million views on this. Like, you moved quickly, you packaged it right. Like, because I was searching heavily to find any kind of video. I know everyone was searching for content on it. You could have smashed if you had a good thing. I still haven't seen a good video on it.
Yeah. I haven't looked on YouTube, but, I believe it. I believe it. Someone's probably going to get there.
Yeah.
Shit. You could just say it's conspiracy theory and you'll probably get 1 million views.
Oh God. Yeah. I mean, once you introduce the conspiracy element to it, where are you on, you know, the three theories were, you know, it popped up somewhere on the surface, they couldn't find it. Two, there was some kind of crack or fissure or whatever, and it imploded because of the pressure at those levels, or that it's stuck entwined in the Titanic itself.
Implosion seems like the most likely outcome from what I'm reading, and also most humane, right?
Like, yeah,
you definitely don't want to wait for rescue with your 19-year-old son next to you. Oh my God.
Dude, well, not to get like super morbid about it too, but I was reading some stuff too. When you start to think about the remaining oxygen supply, and it's like they had 96 hours or whatever for five individuals. If you remove one or two of those individuals, your oxygen supply goes up.
That's true, right? And there's two of them. So those the family probably should have.
And they're the richest, I believe, of anyone on that.
So then they could buy their freedom afterwards after they get caught.
This now sounds like the script of a Blumhouse movie or something here too, like Saw meets Blumhouse, 12,000 feet under the sea.
Yeah, they're going to need a bigger submersible though to film that.
Man, so... I that was my hope too, right? Because if it was, you know, the levels of pressure down there, an instantaneous implosion death, I mean, where you just don't even know, like one little bolt cracks off, gone. You never even like, that seems like a choice way to go, but the alternative is very, very bad.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. There's also possibility of, sea monsters, you know, what's that?
I had read this book a few years back called Shadow Divers about, you know, scuba divers who go and explore these abandoned ships. A lot of them are off like these old submarines, even from like World War One and World War Two. A lot of them are off the coast, even of like New Jersey and stuff. But there was an element about these divers, and they get such of like an adventurer spirit that they get themselves into trouble. Like they say when they're down there, like knowing like, and they're, you know, perusing around one of these abandoned ships or whatever, that even though they know their oxygen is running out, even though they know they only have a set amount of time, there's this element of what if the treasure, what if the thing that no one has found is just beyond that next room? What if I just go a little bit further? And they have gotten into trouble so many times, either getting lost, either having, because they're tethered to as part of their thing, like getting their tether tied up and then they're getting, you know, twisted in there. Where I do wonder too, if it does end up being like they somehow got dislodged in the Titanic, where you're like, holy shit, we're so close. Let's just go in there. Let's just go see what that is. Like, we can't help ourselves just view it from 50 feet. We got to get in there. I think that's like a, because if you are already spending $250,000 to go down there, you might be like, yeah, why don't we just go a little closer down to that little hole opening there?
I could believe it. I could believe it. Like you said, the reporting's so poor that I don't know when they lost contact. So like, were they down there long enough and then their time elapsed that they should have been back, and then that's when they sounded the alarms? Or did they lose some sort of communication with them, or what?
What it sounded like is the whole mission was supposed to be 8 to 9 hours round trip. I think like 1 to 2 hours down, 3 to 4 hours at the site, 1 to 2 hours back up. And they lost connection. I believe it was like 90 minutes or 2 hours into the initial mission. Like they were saying like they could have made it all the way to the bottom. And that's then when they lost connection.
Mm.
But I don't know.
It's yeah, that's a bummer. Hopefully that's a weird way to put it, but hopefully it was implosion. Cause then
you're
just gone. You know, no clue.
Yeah. Because too, if it is implosion, we'll never obviously find the remnants or whatever, it's lost to the sea. But if they are like trapped at the site, like we have enough technology and enough little things that go down there. They will see that eventually if it's there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they said they found some debris today.
Yeah.
So maybe they have found some of
it. You're ahead of me on the news, man. I haven't been on the news for the past 6 hours. They found debris and you didn't tell me?
You get off this TikTok.
Oh man. Let's see, Brian. Do you want to hop in a draft? You want to talk submarine? You want to talk about Sims? What are you feeling?
Oh, let me get my my draft ready if we're gonna hop in the draft. I don't want to miss out this time.
I know.
We're adding I don't know what sim talk we'd have, but we're adding some stuff to our auto drafter today.
Nice. I guess the only sim talk was I know that it seemed like some of the pushback was coming from the Saber Sim community. First, they alerted us. We were making jokes about Rumpier Sports never having a sim partner. The Saber Sim guys were very offended that we glossed over the fact that Rumpier Sports does use Saber Sim. So this is a New York Times-esque correction footnote buried at the bottom of the episode. Brian, we did get that one wrong.
Yeah, big mistake there.
We apologize.
I don't apologize, but
I apologize sincerely. Brian, we pride ourselves on DFS investigative journalists, and when we when we take an L, we need to own up to it.
All right, I changed mine.
Talk about the auto drafter too, the Karain killer that was then killed by Underdog and now is being rebirthed in a new form.
Yeah, it's been a queue now for a while. It'll queue up a player for you on Underdog. It's auto drafting on DraftKings now, though. So the actual auto drafter does work on DraftKings. And then we're adding overlay stuff though today, which is the Pete Overzet suggestion to put like draft capital allocations in buckets based on that Leone manifesto.
Yep.
Best ball manifesto data. So as you pick your players, it will have like a little, you know, table, a little matrix of the draft capital at each position and kind of what you're shooting for, generally speaking, to help, you know, guide you, like what positions you want to pick each round.
Yeah. Yeah. If obviously you guys have heard us talk about the manifesto in there. And then I know like John Boy released his sheet. Easy has his sheet. A lot of people now building off of the bucket stuff, which I think is a really cool way to kind of think about how you're spending capital, because even all of us arguing about the definitions of is the zero RB, is this hyper fragile, when it's like, it doesn't have to go in a specific pick order to determine kind of how you've spent your money, and to just quantify it based on like an auction value curve, I think makes so much sense. So I do like that addition.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's going to work. And then I'm going to incorporate it into the guide me and auto drafting stuff too. So, I had some, I don't know what you want to call it. Like, you know, just logic on the back end, adjusting things kind of to make your team.
Yeah.
Something more similar to that you would hand build, which is not easy to do. And so like, I think it should improve like the general feeling for the teams, like getting it something closer to what you would build if you were trying to do this draft capital strategy.
Yeah. And I would say too, like the way, you know, we got to do all the same caveats. I mean, Leone's data, he just used last year's data, that the target buckets are essentially what worked best for last year. I just think it's a good guide rail, right? Like if you think on the extremes, would you want to draft 6 quarterbacks on a team? No. Could there be scenarios where a 4 quarterback build would make sense? If you use your last 4 picks on the quarterback, you can kind of look at this draft capital bucket and be like, oh, drafting 4 quarterbacks late could be the same as drafting 2 in round 9 and 10 or whatever. I'm just bullshitting, but it's not the end all be all, but I do think it's a good sanity check of like, I'm spending too much at one position.
Yes, I agree. I think tight end is a perfect example of small sample size, 'cause he's got that like bucket 1, bucket 4. Are pretty close, and that's got to be because of Kelce having just such a stud season that one is so much more valuable. I don't hate that idea though. Like if you don't get him or Andrews or something like that, then you drop it down. But the the app, you'll be able to select. Mm-hmm. So like if you think bucket two is too high for QBs, you could just drop it to three.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you one like riddle that always gets in my head, and I'm curious how you think about this, just like more kind of like from a game theory perspective. So the benefit of like the elite positions players at the onesie, so quarterback and tight end, say a top five quarterback, top five tight end, is that they have access to the ceiling that separates from the rest of the field. Like a guy like Lamar Jackson can go for 40 and Jared Goff, you know, maybe in his best game can go for 30 or something, just loose guidelines. Same for the tight ends, you know, Travis Kelce can go for 30. Someone like Noah Fant, even if he scores two touchdowns, he's probably topping out at like 15 points. So that's the huge benefit of having the elite pick. Now, if you go with the three build, you're often not using an elite. You're kind of going for quantity at the position later in the draft. And the benefit you're getting there is that you could line up individual stacks. And so the way the tournament works, it's like 1 week, this quarterback tight end stack you have goes off. The next week in week 16, it's the other. The thing I've been thinking about is like, and I've seen some of these builds now, could you have your cake and eat it too, where you had an elite quarterback, an elite tight end, but you did three quarterback, three tight end build. So yes, you're doing a 3-6-6-3 build or whatever, 3-5-7, but you're almost getting to middle both of those concepts.
And then in the strategy, you would have like your second round QB, but then like a 14th round QB and 18th round QB, yes, something like that. And then a tight end, you'd have like a third round tight end or lower, and then 12th tight end or 17th tight end, something like
exactly
that.
Exactly.
So, yeah. I like it. You gave me a thought where you were saying there about like these elite ceiling kind of guys. Mm-hmm. Just like it strikes me as way more important in DFS than best ball. Cause like I need to score the highest amount in DFS, like against, you know, 18,000 people in one single tournament. Or in football, 30,000 or 100,000, right?
Yeah.
But so you need that insane 0.1% outcome or a bunch of them. Yeah. In season-long best ball, you kind of don't. And then when you're fine, and then last year anyways, I think there was like 470 teams in the final. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not as important. So, like, I would just think gut feeling, like, if this were a thing, you know, like for sure, like Tyreek Hill or somebody, you know, who's like clearly got a crazy ceiling.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as important as best ball. And like, that's my kind of gut feeling that you just like made me think of. I don't know what you think, that's right or wrong or.
No, I understand what you're saying. I'm more thinking about it through the gauntlet of the three uncorrelated tournaments. So if you want to use my example of, you know, say you have Travis Kelce and two other tight ends, and let's say Travis Kelce bombs in week 15. Travis Kelce crushes again. Everyone shows up with him in the week 15 pods. He bombs, and now you wipe out, let's say, 95% of the Kelce teams. Mm. And then you show up to the finals with one of the only Travis Kelce teams. Travis Kelce now is one of the only tight ends who has a realistic path to a monster stealing. And so that idea of getting an elite player at low ownership because you've used additional other pieces to weed out the majority of the Kelce teams. That's kind of the concept I'm thinking.
I got it. I get it. I like it. Yeah. So like you get there off the back of Kelce and kind of hope he bombs because like everyone else might even be doing single Kelce's. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like single tight ends or double tight end. And now, you know, very rarely three tight end. And then you kind of hope he bombs. But, you know, there's also the outcome of whatever 8% of Kelce's make it through.
Right.
Too. Like it's not like if your Kelce, you know, is there, 80% of the playoff teams are going to have Kelce. That doesn't have to happen too. So, but I dig that idea. Sure. Because sometimes when you get to like 9 and 10 wide receivers, like I know I'm not on ship chasing, but like, I know most of the players, you know, and then like I get up there like, who the hell is this guy?
No, and there used to be, again, like even thinking back to last year, and I know you're not like in the weeds on this stuff, but like Garrett Wilson was like a top NFL pick, like a wide receiver with an incredible profile. He was going in the 12th round of drafts, even last year. Like that was a very cheap price for a guy with his prospect. Now, similar prospect as him, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, is going in the 5th round. Like there has literally been a shift where if it was last year, Like JSN would have been the guy going in the 12th round. And the market has adjusted so much that there are no really slam dunk wide receiver picks after, you know, the double digit rounds. Like it's just a free for all.
I think that might be a little bit of the, like the groupthink, stay in your lane kind of thesis too, of like no one was stacking the Jets QBs right last year with Wilson and who was the other guy? Was Flacco maybe? Or who?
Flacco and then Mike White.
Yeah, right, right. And so no one's stacking those guys. And like, so like Badge Bros stacking QBs left and right is going to push that guy way down.
Yep. Yep. All right. What do you think? You want to rip off a draft here?
Yeah, let's join one.
All right. You want to hop in first or me?
I'm in.
You're in? Mm-hmm. All right. I just got in. All right. Three more spots if you guys want to draft with us here. And so right now with your former thing that was the auto drafter, is it now, do you have the suggester?
Yeah. So I'll have to. Yeah. Choose them up.
If you want to share your screen a little bit too, we can
Let me put it in a different browser so you can't see all my my porn searches.
Yeah. You've been scoping out the Mariah Mills, Zion Williamson.
Lately it's like underwater porn, deep.
you're in a real mermaid phase right now. Did you see, apparently there's a documentary on the mermaid industry. I believe it's on Netflix now. Apparently it's like a $1 billion industry now, just like people like mermaid cosplay culture.
All right.
Just a fun fact, Brian. I just thought I'd toss that
out. Well, I mean, you got to start throwing that shit in the title if it's going to give us more.
Exactly. More views. Yes. If you have been to one of these mermaid conventions, where apparently there's a ton of money to be made.
You know what we're dressing up as next week, right?
Yes.
Fucking mermaids. Yes,
for the thumbnail. It's Brian and I dress as mermaids in a submersible on the thumbnail. Yes. Did you see the clip that I posted from the club last night when Peter Jennings was talking about the Zion Williamson, Mariah Mills thing?
I saw your tweet. I didn't see a clip with it. You tweeted, you retweeted somebody too.
Yeah, it was... We were just talking about it, and like Peter with a straight face was like, from a data perspective, she's up to the 21st most popular porn star on Pornhub. I was like, yes, Peter, from a data perspective. Thank you for clarifying in case Ashley's watching.
I'm joking. I was obviously joking about the porn stuff, but like it doesn't do it for me. Real porn or like porn stars and real porn. I can't stand it. I know that's a minority take, I think, with a lot of dudes, but why isn't this working?
I was going to say, I'm waiting to see what this is going to suggest. If you have enough time to take it, it's a suggestion.
No, it might be, I might,
you're on your own.
I might actually have a test one in. Well, it's going to auto draft for me.
You're going to get CMC. You'll survive.
Yeah, I think I have. That's actually not bad at 7.
No, I mean maybe that's how it's intended to do. Maybe the ADP value just takes over and it doesn't need to do anything.
I think I have the what's it called? Like a test app installed.
Yeah.
For the shoot.
All right, we'll let Brian fix this. Cody wants me to get some We Just Don't Know drops this draft. Yeah, how many do you want, Cody? Will you give me a target number of how many We Just Don't Knows you want me to organically weave in? See what I can do for you. Is this BBM? Yes, this is BBM. Thank you for actually reminding me, because I got to get my banner up here. I got to see. Let me see which number BBM draft this is for me. So this will be eligible for the comment giveaway. When the show is over, leave a comment. We'll get you entered into a giveaway when I hit 15,000 subs. We're almost to 14,000 subs. So if you're watching, not subscribed, get subscribed. This will be draft number 64 for me. Draft number 64.
You are flying through that, Pete.
I'm trying. I think I'm on a decent pace.
I was thinking for this new 25 max one, if I can get my extension working,
yeah,
just do like 25 in one pop. Just
yeah,
mm-hmm.
Just it. I like how you say that. You say it as if like this was like a set of chores you had to get done. And you're like, what if I just did it all?
Yeah, it is. Exactly what it is.
I've done two Chihuahua drafts, one on a walk yesterday morning with April, and then one I did a little cardio club on my own today. Got the rowing machine out and did a Chihuahua cardio row draft.
Does that, I was wondering, like, does that work for me too?
What do you mean?
If I like auto draft and then, you know, go to the gym, am I in the cardio club?
I mean, if you are drafting and exercising simultaneously, yes, I believe it can. The problem for you is that the Underdog Cardio Club submissions closed last week, but you can still better your own life, Brian, by exercising. Look at, did you make that selection or was it suggested to you?
I made it.
Okay.
I'm still trying to install the new version.
Yeah. Ricky says your extension ran out of oxygen.
It imploded.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's. I need to get some more Tony Pollard.
Oh, wait, that's why. I'm a dummy.
What happened?
I didn't select any settings.
Uh-oh. While Brian is working on this, I should mention tonight I will be doing a randomizer draft. Lawrence Jackson from NBC Sports Edge is going to be joining me. That'll be at 8 p.m. tonight. Got some fun prompts on the wheel, so tune in for that. It's a best ball draft, and there is not $3 million up top. It is just a place for us to go full chaos. Let's see. Should I play the... All right, well, we're just going to... We're going to just alpha it here. Tony Pollard, Ramondre.
All right, I'm back. You got the four slot, huh, Pete?
The four slot, yep. Normally a guy like Devonta Smith, you know, this room, we only got a couple of badges. I see Spags in here. We got a couple of friends in here, stepfathers in here. Normally like an Olave or Devonta will come back in a non-badge room, but that didn't happen here.
Spags is entering on in his free time.
I guess so. Yeah. I think Spags is a Lulz watcher. See, look at, I already influenced Andrew to go watch the Mer People trailer. I didn't realize it was called Mer People. So you're even teaching me a few things. Tim's been trying to get in my drafts, denied again, starting to feel like it's conspiracy theory. It is. You know, the government doesn't want you to know. I don't want you to know, Tim. It is what it is. I like this. Tyler calling it a semi-high T start. You go with the anchor wide receiver, but two running backs. It's not fully high T. It's semi-high T. Spags. I entered while watching because I thought you guys weren't going to draft. And now I get that sweet streamer EV. Yeah, we did play that close to the vest there. Unintentionally. Wait,
we
is
gotta
this,
add the play?
Are you to this? Is this actual news, Justin? If there's actual news, I need to know. All right, Brian.
Yeah,
gets Mark Andrews there at 31.
What's the breaking news? Okay, officially they're saying it officially imploded.
Sky News.
I know the Navy was saying was I don't think they were guessing that. I don't know if they must have just officially said it.
Debris field has been discovered within the search area by a remotely operated underwater vehicle near the Titanic. All right. Well,
I was telling this
good for them.
There's this. I was telling someone this story about this is another Lost at Sea story. So that's why I'm bringing it up. There was this priest in Brazil, I think in like the 80s or 90s or something, who wanted to like use balloons to fly. And so he, you could show my screen, Pete. It's a, I got the beta with the Giraffe Capital stuff showing up here.
Oh, that's sweet.
So this is what
like that.
I look like.
What does it look like if you put someone in the queue?
I don't know.
Maybe after this. Or what did you just get?
Cutler in there. Oh, he goes below it.
That's fine.
Is that fine? Yeah.
Yeah. I think that looks clean. I am back on the clock here. Man, I really don't like Mike Williams. You know, I've been trying to get a little bit more Brandon Ayuk lately. Let's do that. All right, so my start here, Cooper Kupp, Tony Pollard, Ramondre Stevenson, Brandon Ayuk, Brian start, CMC, Devonta Smith, Mark Andrews, and Najee Harris.
Najee Harris is a problem.
Yikes.
I don't like Najee Harris, but...
But the machine,
his ADP is high.
Yeah, exactly.
And right now we're running off of ADP only.
We sure are.
Well, I got to finish that pointless story.
Yeah, you were talking about the guy trying to fly with balloons.
Yeah, there was some like priest in Brazil. He like took his couch and put like a like hundreds or a thousand balloons on it to like fly.
Mm-hmm.
And, like went up with like a radio and I think a shotgun or something to blow
the shotgun. Oh, it wasn't to protect. It was literally to end the balloon. I got
yeah. You. And anyways, long story short, they never heard from him again. He just took off in the balloons and floated off to sea. Lost at sea.
That's that. I mean, then our other like. To merge all of these viral stories together. Then remember the balloon boy story? You remember that where like the dad had created that balloon and then the boy, the boy like disappeared and then the balloon like took off and they thought the boy was in the balloon. This would have been fall of 2009. Cause I had just moved to Boston. You don't remember that story, balloon boy?
No, I don't know why.
Wow. That one was like, I want to say, it was like the Titanic story yet meets like a high profile car chase, you know, police chase where everyone's just watching this balloon footage and they're like, is the boy in the balloon? Is the boy in the balloon? And then they like found him in the attic or something. He was just like hiding up there. Yeah.
That was back when news was fun. Didn't matter.
I guess I'm like sounding like shocked that you don't remember. And I'm feeling so fucking old. That was 14 years ago.
Let me see.
Jesus.
Oh, it's a hoax. Why do I not?
Yeah. I think someone remind me because like the dad ended up being like a real weirdo. And I think he was kind of feeding into the element that his son could actually be up there, but maybe knew that he wasn't. Yeah. The parents faked it.
Weird. Fucking people out there, Pete.
Yeah, man. God, you were 11. Now I feel really old. People did find a bug in your new tool. It's that Najee pick. You're gonna have to fix that.
We're picking Najee's got to be broken.
I will say though, I mean, with Najee, I don't like him, but you just don't know. At the end of the day, you just don't know. Maybe Matt Canada gets that offense rolling.
So maybe there was a big PSYOP around that time because I just Googled my Brazilian priest, Padre Belio Rio, 2008.
I for some reason, just out of context, context, I love that phrase from you. I just Googled my Brazilian priest.
Well, former Brazilian priest. He is,
yeah,
he's no longer with us.
Yeah. Ricky. Oh yeah. Remember the kid that fell in the well in the 80s. I do not remember that.
Oh, that's yeah. The reason is because of the Simpsons. There's right. A big Simpsons episode on it.
Stepfathers is pissing yellow here. Oh, you took one chub detour. Brick taking Deontay Johnson and an unstacked Justin Herbert, huh?
Justin A. Bear.
Hmm. A. Bear. Just keep taking my guy Mike Evans.
Wait, I don't get it. My bladder's almost empty.
It's pissing yellow, Brian.
Oh, Jesus. So
he's been pissing. Yeah.
How did I not put that together?
I know. Got to keep up, man. Got to keep up.
What was that kid's name?
I do remember the kid that fell in the grill enclosure.
I remember that, too. Yeah. Well, that was a baby, wasn't it? It was a girl. Baby Jessica. That's right. All right.
Wow, baby Jessica. Goodness. All right, Brian, let's watch your tool pick this one here.
We're gonna hopefully not get sniped on take your boy.
Who's my boy?
Mr. Quentin Johnson.
I feel like that'd be like a good bit for you, Brian. You're like, it's Mr. Steal Yo Girl, but it's Mr. Steal Yo Pick. And it's just like you with like sunglasses on, just like the cool dude who comes and snipes you in drafts. This summer, Brian Hooper is Mr. Steal Yo Pick.
Don't you like him? I thought you liked
him. Johnson, I do. I do.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, and it's nice for you there too with the – you go unstacked Herbert. If you miss out on Johnston, it starts to get a little gross.
With
him there. So getting Johnston there is nice.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. The only one I don't like is Najee Harris. But you have to go based off of ADP on the auto drafter so far. We're going to add custom rankings eventually, but so then you could just manually drop his ass.
Yeah. The draft capital thing, before we do explain it, it's in beta, right? Because it's not updating right now. Yeah, it'll display.
I just wanted to show Pete really quick. Yeah, what it kind of looks like. It'll take if you could knock his comment off there, you could see like so. Justin Herbert in the fifth would be, I don't have the chart up, but 80 points or something, maybe less than that, maybe like 60 points allocated to the QB spot, and then that would change your current bucket, like bucket four or something at that point. And then you're trying to go for bucket two. So either you manually do that or you let the drafter suggest somebody who will get you there. And then just do that for each position. So like the running backs, I would have a lot of running back points right now. So like all the running back, remaining running backs wouldn't be as highly ranked for my team going forward.
The concept, Anthony, is basically thinking about every pick in the draft as if they were auction dollars. So, you know, say you had a $200 budget in an auction draft. And if you spent $50 on CMC, a quarter of your auction budget, this will show you, okay, you've already spent, you know, 85%, 90% of what you can spend at the running back position. You're going to want to go, lighter the rest of the draft. So it's like that same concept. It helps you kind of visualize converting each round pick into a numerical value and then showing you how much you've spent relative to your overall pick budget at the position. And then it provides these guardrails. And then based on Leone's research from last year, it shows you where the ideal bucket was to be in for each position. So last year, the teams that used the least amount were in one of the lower buckets for running back capital spent. That was optimal. Obviously, again, 1 year sample size, but it just provides you some good guardrails.
Yep. That's, I mean, this is why I like doing it with the help of an extension, is because I can't add all these little correlations and draft capital and everything in my head, or keep track of who's playing who in week 16 or 17, even with the overlay, you'll have like 6 or 7 or 8 guys on your team. And so like, if there's a guy there who like has correlation in 16, 17, a good playoff schedule, correlation with like the backup QB plus gets you in a bucket that you're like targeting, like, it's kind of a lot to put for the amount of attention I pay to while I draft. It's hard to keep all that in my head.
Wait, the man who wants to do 25 chihuahuas all at once and get it over with isn't paying super close attention during their drafts?
Mm-mm. Nope. Pay attention afterwards. You go, oh, why did it draft that guy?
All right, here you go. One pick past ADP. I'll get an Anthony Richardson share for the slappies.
How many do you have on him?
I think that said I was at 3.3%. Where is he? Yeah, 3.3. So we're getting up there. We're gonna slowly get there. My team so far through 9 rounds: Cooper Kupp, Tony Pollard, Ramondre Stevenson, Brandon Ayuk, DJ Moore, Mike Evans, Jahan Dotson, Javonte Williams, Anthony Richardson. Brick is on the clock right now. His team: CMC, Devonta Smith, Mark Andrews, Najee Harris, Justin Herbert, Deontay Johnson, Quentin Johnson, the double Johnson team here. Zay Flowers. Nice value on Zay Flowers there at pick.
Who do you take here? I'm going to take what it suggests, but I don't like any of these players. A tight end, I don't need really with Andrews.
Yeah.
Then Lazard? Who do I take there?
So yeah, I probably don't take an unstacked Tua. What I probably take is Samaje Perine as like a week 17 bring back on your,
even though you got
Charger,
all this capital spent at RB with McCaffrey and Harris.
Well, this is the problem you run into. So when you take, so I always call like non-wide receiver picks detours. So you had Herbert, CMC, Najee, and Mark Andrews. You had 4 early detours. And so you're going to be behind at wide receiver. But the value at wide receiver after your pick, like Zay Flowers was a nice pick for you at 90, it's wiped out for like 25, 30 picks. Mm-hmm. And so the sweet spot, like for positional value there, is the tight ends. Njoku and Freiermuth were there. You're starting to get the zero RB targets, the P. Ryans, the Antonio Gibsons, or the quarterbacks. If you had a stack lined up, I think a quarterback would have made sense, but there were no viable stack. So I would have just gone to the value pocket and taken my second tight end or my third running back. But that's where you kind of just have to know where the pockets are.
Yeah. I guess I would have went with the RB if I was just hand building there at that point, but I don't like any of the options there. I'm not sure there's like a really good auto drafting solution.
Yeah.
It probably would have, because when you take Herbert in the fifth, it's probably enough draft capital to kind of lower the QB position at that point.
And so the thing I also look at, Brian, I don't know how like you would have your tool bake this in for you. So I'm saying like, all right, I spent a fifth round pick on Herbert. Who are the other quarterbacks still available that I could pick later? So you have CMC, so Brock Purdy could be an available option. And then you have 2 Pittsburgh players. So Kenny Pickett becomes a pretty strong selection. So like, that's why I'm never going to take two of there, just being like, I'll make sure Pickett or Purdy is a later target.
I mean, Pickett's basically free, right?
Yeah, except in my drafts where I always get money.
When I know you got 2 Pittsburgh players.
That's right.
No one wants this.
Elon Muscular is coming after you and your robot. This fucking auto drafter at the 107 keeps sniping my QBs and he doesn't even have stacking partners. Dude, Elon Muscular, have you seen this? Is this real? Him and Zuckerberg are gonna box? Is that real?
It looks real.
They should do UFC instead. Have Joe Rogan, you know, referee.
Where he interviews on the ground Elon Musk. Who wins that fight? Who do you got?
I mean, it has to be Elon, right? He's so much bigger than him, too.
Yeah, but hasn't Zuck been training in MMA for like years now?
Has he? Is that why he's so confident?
Yeah, I tweeted about it. Like
you tweeted about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, if like Zuck beats your ass, do you just end it? Do you move away? Like what are your how many options are there? Yeah, I guess he's like actually competing and shit.
But the thing is, like a black belt really doesn't have anything to do with if they're boxing. Like it's a completely different sport.
I thought it was MMA match.
Okay, that's different.
Someone hear differently. I thought it was like an actual MMA match. Boxing would be fun. If it's but he looks like he's in better shape lately. Ever since he got shamed for that boat meme with when he was on the boat with what's his name, Rahm Emanuel's brother Ari.
Yeah.
It looks like he wouldn't be able to do three rounds.
Yeah.
But I think he's in better shape now.
It is like, it's one thing when, you know, Jake Paul and those guys turn into boxers or whatever, do the celebrity boxing route. Le'Veon Bell washes out of the league, does some boxing. I mean, the fact that we got Elon Musk, who's on these panels, you know, trying to slow down the progress of AI because he's worried about it destroying the world. But it's Zuckerberg, one of the most powerful men in the world. They're like, yeah, let's just beat the shit out of each other. That's the best way to spend our time right now. Incredible time. What an incredible time to be alive.
What's his name? Bezos is pretty jacked.
Yeah.
He's definitely roiding it up.
Well, if you look at all three of those guys, like Bezos is the one who looks like he works out. Like my guess is Bezos works out like 5 to 6 times a week. Elon's probably like 2 to 3 times a week. And Zuckerberg probably has like jiu-jitsu classes twice a week. Like Bezos is the one putting in the most work, you got to think.
Yeah. Yeah. He's getting a little help though. He's getting the blood transfusions, the real pricey Russian steroids, you know?
Well, that was the other thing, like going back to the submersible stuff too, of like most billionaires are trying to live forever and, you know, extend their life. They're building these nuclear fallout shelters in New Zealand. And these two dudes are like, no, let's go on a highly risky mission down to the literal bottom of the ocean where we're like, hang on. I want to ask you this question too, as like a probability guy, when they signed that paper, when they went on the mission, they clearly thought there was a very small chance that they would die. What do you think like the true odds now that we know stuff and you don't want to do revisionist history? Like to me, it still felt like there was like a 5% chance that mission went wrong.
God.
Do you think it's higher or lower than that? The true odds?
I would say lower, but I don't know. I wouldn't do it though. Whatever it is, it's too high, I think.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I am being too high. 1 out of 20 times, even a 1% chance is too high. 1 out of 100. Yeah. You're not rolling that dice for your life as a billionaire.
I mean, as a poor person, I'm not rolling 1 in 100. Like I could see it. I just pop in, you know, the movie and there's some footage there at the end, I think.
So do you think if you asked any of those guys going on the ship, and a couple of those are really smart dudes from what I can tell, like they have to acknowledge that there's a greater than non-zero percent chance that the question is like, where on that spectrum? Is it 1 out of 1,000 for them? 1 out of 10,000? I think they're probably being naive if it's much more greater odds than 1 out of 1,000. It seems shorter than that.
The reports did say something like these people were explorers or something.
Yeah.
So maybe they're just used to the risk.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not taking this guy.
Who are you debating?
They want me to take another fucking quarterback, which I'm not going to do.
Yeah. That is the other thing too, where it goes back to like, I don't necessarily think it's bad if you did end up with a third quarterback, like say Kenny Pickett, like say he fell past ADP and had a third quarterback stacked. But then if you take that quarterback there, you also box yourself out of it because now you can't do four quarterbacks with that amount of capital spent.
Yeah. I think the version that should be out pretty soon is going to help smooth out the like draft capital allocations.
Nice. So catching up on some picks here. After my Anthony Richardson, I went Sky Moore, trying to get a little bit more of him before he gets too expensive again. Eli Mitchell correlated with my Jahan Dotson as my third running back. And then I did just take Alec Pierce because I did take Anthony Richardson. I like getting that stack there. Brian, your pick since Tua, you took A-Chain, which makes sense if you are going to be unstacked Tua, getting one of his running backs there, Alan Lazard and Jonathan Mingo as you recover at wide receiver. Good value on those guys too.
Who the fuck is Jonathan Mingo, Pete?
He is the rookie wide receiver that the Panthers took, and he's the first Panthers wide receiver off the board in these drafts.
Bryce Young, the Mingo.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get Dulcich here. Been taking a lot of him. I guess I could have. Maybe I should have taken Higbee, try to set up a double stack with Matthew Stafford, but I just like Dulcich so much more than Higbee, and he was 10 picks past ADP.
Yeah, the auto drafter is going to like Russell Wilson with 20 picks ADP.
You're not. Are you going to bully it?
That's quite a bit.
Yeah,
value, but I don't have any Denver players.
Yeah,
so I might, but that normally, yeah, it's obviously it wants to take him, but I think I'll skip him.
I think that's smart.
Oh, I don't like any of these other people. Well, I mean, I could take a bear.
Yeah, you could take Roshan Johnson. Roshan's a good pick. I was thinking about him. I think when you spend two early picks at running back, I mean, it kind of opens you up. Like, you are banking on CMC and Najee of being in your starting lineup most weeks. I like taking really big swings. Roshan Johnson and A-Chain, I think, have really wide ranges of outcomes. Like, they could just be absolute zeros, or they could be league winners. So I kind of like that polarized running back room with your early picks.
What's your percentage chance that Fields is a dramatically improved passer this year?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I think there's like a 35 to 40% chance he is.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Like, trying to still be cautious with it, you know, it is easy to be like, oh, what if he's just this year's Jalen Hurts who takes like this huge, huge leap? The thing that's hard with it is he can be dramatically improved as a passer, and yet they still don't pass enough for it to matter a ton for fantasy. Like, they had the highest run rate in the league last year at nearly 60%. So even if he's more efficient, if they just decide to run the ball a ton, it might not even matter for fantasy.
But I mean, you lose a player of the caliber of David Montgomery, Pete, then you're not going to run as much, you know?
I feel very fortunate that my 0% David Montgomery bit didn't backfire on me in a big way last year.
Yep. Yeah, you were safe. Spags is getting sniped by people auto drafting.
Oh, what did this guy do? Oh, yeah, this guy has a weird team going on. It did look like he bailed on it because he took George Kittle, Njoku, and Friermuth. So, yeah, he is auto-drafting, I think, just top of the queue right now. We'll see if this checks out. If he gets Van Jefferson, then that's exactly what's happening. Yep.
I need to find some good ranks for DraftKings.
You should talk to Karain. Karain has DraftKings ranks.
Is he offended by the Karain killer branding?
No, I think it would be very ironic if you were using Karain's ranks in conjunction with the Karain killer. I think would be, you know, keep your enemies or your friends close, but your enemies closer.
Use his own data against them.
Yeah, exactly. All right, what's the robot doing?
I don't know. Donovan Peoples-Jones? Looks like.
Seems fine.
All right.
How many is it? How many suggestions does it make?
Just one right now, but like, I was thinking we could do something where it speeds it up, you know, once we get it more efficient and stuff, and maybe it does like three suggestions.
Yeah. That'd be cool, I think.
I want it fast enough where you could just like turn it on just for one pick, you know, and just pops three guys up.
Yeah. I think what would be cool about multiple suggestions is it would help you understand like positionally, right? Like if it put three wide receivers in the queue, now it's like, oh man, this is a sweet spot for wide receiver. I have my correlation there. Or if it has like one quarterback, one running back, one tight end, then you kind of know, all right, maybe a little bit more choose your own adventure.
Yeah. The problem with that though is like it'll have to be like, if you have all your draft capital spent at QB, it's unlikely to suggest a QB, you know what I mean? A QB option. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But something like that could work, like top two and then just like guarantee two different positions or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll have to think about that.
Let's see. We could go, man, I have so much. I'm starting to like this. Let's do one more wide receiver or running back and be done at five with Tajay Spears.
Do you want to trade?
Yeah. Who do you want to trade?
Najee Harris.
For Tajay Spears, straight up. I'll do it. Any cash considerations I need to toss in?
Yeah, $25. Real money. So you're right, Pete. It now wants Kenny Pickett.
That would be, how fascinating would that be? Like, if you were trying to do the EV calc on, like, would you pay $25 for an extra, like, fifth round pick at the end of your draft to where you essentially are paying double the entry fee?
No, there's no way. I don't think
it. Oh, I know, but I'm just thinking of like how many people would do that. It probably would be a buddy pit still.
We've done that in my old drafts with my buddies. Like they would like give each other $50 or $75.
Yeah.
In trade. And it was only like $120 to join the league.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I love stuff like that too. Yeah, you can't do that. You can't do that in best ball. That shit would just start getting
no
too cheaty.
Or like, what if it was this, Brian? So you have your, you know, 150 max, but if you maxed it and you wanted to pay $100 for any additional entries, you could. So basically you would be chipping away at the overlay the rake in the contest.
Oh, I like that.
But then like, if you wanted to have 500 entries, you could.
Right.
But you would also have to pay 4X or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Maybe it was on an exponential curve. Like each one, your first one's 100, 125. It just like keeps going up for each additional entry you wanted to put in.
And that's just overlay or whatever for the other users.
Yes.
The extra money. Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming they're bound by the same laws that DFS is.
Yes.
And you have to set the amount and you can't change it before, afterwards, but.
Right. There's no way this would be legal, but it'd be kind of like, I would let someone put another 50 in for
$50 an entry or something.
Yeah. You make them pay a little more.
Whatever. Little more. Sure.
Yeah.
I agree. I think that'd be fun. I really do wish they'd get rid of that provision in the law.
Yeah.
How many RBs would you have for my team at this point?
Let me look.
You stick with four, or would you go one more?
So normally I get to five. I would do five with this one. I think you're fine going five if you want.
Nice to meet you. Uh-oh. It's giving me a bit too much correlation. I think I need to tone that down a little bit. Who is Chosen Anderson?
Oh, man. Don't take Chosen here.
No, I'm going to pass on that. Actually, I'm going to take Knox.
There you go.
Chosen, huh?
The Chosen One.
I guess that's kind of a cool name, actually.
Are you familiar with who the artist was previously?
No. Did he change his name?
Yeah, it was Robbie Anderson. Remember him? He was like on the Jets. God. And then, yeah.
No, I didn't know he did that.
Yeah.
That just this year? That's got to be.
Yeah, this offseason.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's probably healthy mentally.
All right. So,
won't be any problems with Chosen.
Brian and I, in these past two rounds, got to three QBs. Brian did take Kenny Pickett, which I think makes sense with the I think you would wish you could take the Tua pick back, probably, but still getting that correlation with Deontay and Najee makes sense. And I took Brock. I have Eli Mitchell and Brandon Ayuk and then Jahan Dotson on the bring back. So I like getting to three quarterbacks there with Matthew Stafford and Anthony Richardson.
I did get the snipe equity on somebody on Tua, though, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Stafford, Brock Purdy. You like running backs and olds this year, huh?
I do? Wow, that hurts, man.
I know.
Really hurts. I like running backs and olds this year. Are you saying Brock Purdy's old? He's a second year.
He's
player.
An old soul.
I'll give you that. He does come across like an old soul.
Stafford. Right. Stafford might be
Stafford. Wrong. Stafford's old. I did just take Jelani Woods. I'm going to be taking another tight end here. I technically reached a decent bit, but I'm not risking someone sniping my second stacking partner with Anthony Richardson at this stage of the game. So you have two more picks. You're at a 3-4-7-2.
So we sure chosen Anderson is not going to be good.
I think you could. I think the chat said it too. I think I prefer Berrios if I'm going to do a wide receiver, but I think you could do a running back and then one more wide receiver. Or you can just get chosen.
Oops.
There you go.
I didn't know I had that much time left. Well, chosen Anderson it is.
There you go.
I need another RB, huh?
Yeah.
Probably last pick.
I think you want to get to five here. Did you already had the bring back. You have Mark Andrews on your team, so you had the Dolphins with the Ravens in 17.
Of course I need that, Pete.
Of course. So what did I not accomplish in this draft that I would have liked? I would have liked Giants bring back on my Stafford. Didn't get that.
Who are you taking with these RBs left?
All right. So this is the Wild West here for running back. So we're just going to look at your correlations. You have Chargers with the Denver bring back. You have Miami with the Baltimore bring back. You have Pittsburgh with the Seattle. Not much there. Pitt with Seattle, CMC with Washington, Roshan with Atlanta. Cordell Patterson's kind of an interesting
That's who I was
play.
Thinking.
As far as just like in a vacuum, I like Izzy behind Breece Hall. Dwayne McBride could be the number two behind Madison. Don't mind that. You could do Joshua Kelly if you wanted just like another. I think he is the backup to Austin Eckler if you wanted to build out your Chargers bet.
Kelly or Patterson?
Probably go Patterson, but do you just have Hebert single stacked?
Just an Hebert single right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bye weeks don't matter. It looks like so either one. Well, Kelly's off the board.
Wow, getting sniped on Joshua Kelly. Didn't even think that was possible. There you go. I guess it's Patterson.
Unless I get sniped on Patterson.
Yeah.
Look at me. I didn't get a Giants bring back. And my look at my suggester right now. I want to go third tight end here, but I have four or three options at the top of the queue here. Maybe I just rock it with Dulcich and Jelani.
All right, Patterson it is.
You love him.
Whatever. This team's fine. Tua, I'm not in love with where I took him and Harris. But other than that, I'm fine. Fine with him. Probably one.
Screw million. It. This should probably be a three tight end build. I think it really should. But I'm just taking Wandale Robinson at pick fucking 213 as my bring back with my Rams. I'm just doing it. Feels good to go light at tight end. I've been sick of getting bullied by elite tight end, by robust tight end. What about just two shitty tight ends? How about that for a new strategy?
Okay.
Punch all right. Tight end. Ooh. Oh, that was Elon here. Reverse snipe for taking unstacked Herbert and Tua from me. Wow. Elon Muscular fighting back. All right, Brian. Let's recap our teams here. I ended up with a 3-5-8-2 build. Anthony Richardson, Matthew Stafford, Brock Purdy, my running backs, Tony Pollard, Ramondre Stevenson, Javonte Williams, Eli Mitchell, Tajay Spears, wide receivers, Cooper Kupp, Brandon Ayuk, DJ Moore, Mike Evans, Jahan Dotson, Sky Moore, Alec Pierce, Wandale Robinson, tight end, Greg Dulcich, and Jelani Woods. I like everything about this team, except it probably needed a third tight end. And yet I just was like, I'm getting my bring back 30 picks past ADP or whatever. Brian, let's check out your final half man, half machine team here. Where are you? You did some wild things in this draft. Justin Herbert, Tua, Kenny Pickett, CMC, Najee, A-Chain, Roshan, CPAT. I think this was a good room as far as how you devoted your running back capital. Wide receiver, Devonta Smith, Deontay Johnson, Quentin Johnston, Zay Flowers, Alan Lazard, Jonathan Mingo, DPJ, Chosen. Mark Andrews, Dawson Knox. I really think only the Tua pick is the only thing I would really undo. I feel like you recovered at wide receiver. Lazard, ADP fallers, nice. Mingo giving you an upside bet there. And then the Tua pick kind of then forced you into the Chosen pick, which I don't think is ideal. So really, I think only that Dolphins detour is the only thing that stands out to me as not ideal.
Yeah. You know, a thing I'm thinking about too here is the Najee Harris pick. The problem is, then if you are drafting off correlation, then like it matters quite a bit that your early pick is someone you don't like, because then it's going to try to match up those week 17 and 16 correlations too. And then double down on that guy.
Right. Yeah, it's true. I mean, I start to do like in this draft where I didn't get any of the elite QBs, like I started to make selections. And like when I have Cooper Kupp at the top, it's like, all right, I know Matthew Stafford's here. I take Ayuk. I know Brock Purdy's there. Dotson, Sam Howell's there. So I start to think about my selections as like, what quarterbacks do I have to actually stack late if I want to go that route? All right, Brian.
Yep.
We did it. Another show in the books here. We talked about submarines. We talked about best ball game theory. We apologize to Saber Sim. Any other final words here before we get out of here? When can people expect some of the updates to the draft caddy?
Probably today or tomorrow. I'll have that draft capital in there and then integrate it into the auto drafter a few days after that.
Yep. And if you guys want to check it out, you can go to thedraftcaddy.com. Instructions are there. It is on my to-do list to make a little tutorial video for you guys on how to walk through and download that, just so you also have a video version of how to do that. But if you have any questions, you can hit Brian and I up in the Deposit Kingdom Discord or in Brian's Brick 75 Discord. Audio for the podcast will be up. And like I said, because this was a Best Ball Mania draft, it's eligible for my comment giveaway. So leave a comment when the show is over. That will get you an entry when I hit 15,000 subs, almost to 14K. And then it's all downhill from there. Check me out on the randomizer later tonight. Brian, and anything else people should look out for you?
No, I have MMA projections and ownership on my site for free on Saturday if there's a slate.
You should fire up a Twitch stream of you doing 25 chihuahuas at once. That would do some numbers.
I probably will do one once we get all this newest update.
There you go. There it is. All right, guys. Appreciate you hanging out as always. We'll catch you next Thursday, as always, on Lulz. Peace.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.